It says on, the green light's on, I'm on, I'm good, all right. Greg Stebbins, I'm a missionary to the Philippines, and home for a while. Home is in Post Falls, Idaho, home for a bit. Medical health checkups and stuff. Most of you know me, I think, right? So I won't go back too far into my history. So praise God, I went to Pensacola Bible Institute in 1996 at age 35, a single man, been pretty rough, got saved in 1990, got right in 1991, and that's another long story, but I won't get into that. So, I remember when I went to Pensacola Bible Institute, man, I broke down like about 2 hours from home. And just on Ladd Canyon, you know where that is? In between Baker City and La Grande, Oregon. Okay, it's on I-84. And I just like, well, okay, here I am. Are you trying to stop me, God? Or is this the devil? Or what is this? You know, and I just, well, I'm going to witness to everybody I get to talk to. The highway department guy, he called the tow truck. I witnessed to him, gave him tracks. Tow truck driver. Witness to him, gave him tracks, you know. Twice now I've had somebody like a tow truck driver. Yeah, I broke down more than once. On deputation, once outside in Arizona. Oh, boy. Anyhow, well, I don't like to, you ever hear, you know, you start to, I don't like to talk about politics and religion, right? You ever heard that? Yeah, okay. Well, and I say that's good because, you know, it's politics and religion that killed Jesus Christ. You know, and that opens up the door a little. But I broke down in the right place. An old girlfriend's grandmother, who she liked me, she loved me, she was good, she was a blessing, very supportive. And she didn't like the idea that we were stuck in a hotel, my oldest son and I, Josh, and couldn't get around. So she came down to Baker City, no, La Grande, and... She took us to the restaurant. She always wanted to go to the Oregon Trail Interpretive Center in Baker City. So we went there and some other places, went to church on Sunday. You know, it was Final Four weekend, the weekend of the Final Four. I can't remember who won. And, it's really important stuff. But, I got to witness to the mechanic. And I'd come from I'd been heavily involved in things that were pretty bad, you know, meth and all sorts of things, and Lord cleaned me up and got to talk to the mechanic, and his son was going through that stuff, and he was amazed I'd gotten away from that, because the majority of people that get addicted to meth, they don't get away from it. And I said, well, I tried other things. I tried all the alphabet, AA, NA, all these things, state run, and none of them worked. Part of the problem with AA is that, you know, you acknowledge a higher power as you understand it. That don't work, man. You know, there's one guy, his higher power was his dog, really. And then his dog died and he relapsed, you know. No, you got to figure out that Jesus Christ is a Savior and He's God, and get to that higher power and He'll clean you up. The Word of God cleaned me up. And I got the witness to that guy, and then, like I said, I broke down in the right place, because that elderly lady, she paid for our hotel room, paid for our meals, paid for the car to get fixed. So, which is a good thing, because when I got to Pensacola, I had like $40. I don't know. It worked out. God knew. And then I gave 20 of that away. I was staying with a friend, and this guy came over saying he needed money for diapers. And Bill said, well, I don't got any. I said, no. I'll give you half of my money that I got. I only have $40. Gave him 20, and the guy took the money, supposedly for diapers, and my friend said, I wouldn't have gave him that. Well, I said, why didn't you tell me? He goes, yeah, he'll probably just go buy drugs. And the truth is, about 3 weeks later, that guy died in a drug deal gone bad. And he'd been a PBI student. So, you know, we don't bat 1,000. You know, down there, there are all sorts of nut jobs, aren't there? I don't know why I looked at you. Yeah. Amen. So, it's a blessing. I met David Habman in 1998, my third year, his first year, and him and Nate Gipp and Greg Virginio and, oh, a few others that I can't remember their names, Andy and Tom Greenhill, worked at Delta Trust, you know. I was the forklift driver, and first time I met David Habman, I'd known of Nate Gipp, but I didn't, you know, so I got to work with those guys, and, you know, it was pretty neat. John Patterson was on there, too. Jack Patterson's nephew, worked with him, and it was like half Lost guys and half PBI guys. So it was always interesting. You know, the guy that got me that job, Bill Dunleavy, he was a good friend of mine from my hometown that was instrumental in me getting saved. And then he had the job as forklift driver, and he said, well, I'll get you this job. You've driven forklift. I said, yeah, a couple times, you know, which was true. I mean, this is how much I'd driven forklift. I ran out of fuel. But I said, no, I still got more fuel. And I was looking at the temp gauge. And they still kept me around. I figured it out, praise God. But anyway, he got me that job. But while he was there, they had a battle of the music. Because the Lost guys wanted to play their garbage. And Bill was like, well, we ought to have equal time. And then so they argue about it. And then so the owner of the company, Richard Weaver, he said, well, I'm just going to put on the music I want to. And it was elevator-like music. So they just turned it off, which is okay, because I got to hear David and Nate, and they'd sometimes just break out singing. And it was good. You know, I met those two young men, and, you know, here I am, 35, been gotten married, Caleb was born then, and Drew wasn't, he'd been, not yet. And I met two young men, 18-year-old, and they wanted to do something for God, and they loved the Lord, and so I looked at that and said, okay, it can be done. And I've got to know the Habmans very well. I met John Habman that winter, and, you know, I thought David was kind of nuts. And then I met John Habman, I said, okay, I get it. And I remember having to, you want some butter? He grabs a scoop to my daughter, just plops a big old lump of it on. You know, it's just, you got to meet John. It's like they say, you don't just meet John Habman, you experience him. It's an experience. And so is David. All of them. I appreciate the Habmans. I ended up in Tim Habman's church, and I hadn't known him really. And I ended up in Post Falls, Idaho, and here we are, missionary to the Philippines. And I hope you're going to be back Sunday, yous that are visiting. Are you? You're here on vacation? You going to be here Sunday? Well, that's too bad. Yeah, because David's a far better preacher than I am. So, anybody else here visiting that hasn't heard David Habman? I know you guys. I know you. Okay, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, this is more of a teaching. And I hope it'll encourage you and that you got the perfect word of God. In 1 Corinthians 10, I'm going to read 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 11, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed under the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6, pay attention. Now these things were our examples, right? So think about that. Just put that in your mind. To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now look at verse 11. Now all these things were happening unto them for what? Examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let's go ahead and pray, if you don't mind. Well, even if you do mind, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you, God, for this time. God, I pray you help me to slow down and help me to teach this as you'd given it to me and as I got it from someone else, actually. And I pray you bless this time. I pray, Lord God, your Holy Spirit would help us to understand this, and where I'm lacking in communication, you would make it clear. I pray you help us, Lord God, to just put away the distractions and the things that are going on around this world and focus on your word and learn something here that I hope will be an encouragement, as it encouraged me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here in this chapter here, you have an example of two words that are similar, right? Example or example. Now, I didn't come up with this on my own. Have you ever read Kyle Stevens' book, The Certainty of the Words? Good. I'm glad. You should get it. The Certainty of the Words is a very good book. I love the subtitle better, though. It says, How the King James Bible Absolves the Ambiguity of the Original Languages. And it does. So I didn't, you know, I'd read that book and I had that in my mind, you know, examples are not examples. And in the Philippines, we were doing a Bible. I can't even recall exactly what it was. But we ended up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It may have, I was talking about murmuring and complaining. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But anyway, I made the comment, because it stuck in my head, that examples are not examples. And of course, the Filipinos asked me, well, what do you mean? Well, I'll have to get back to you. I got to study that out some more, because I'd forgotten. So the thing I want you to understand, keep this in mind. Now, I got this from Kyle Stevens. And so, you know, I'm not plagiarizing. He knows I taught this. In fact, I sent him a few messages because I was wondering about something. The King James Bible is the only translation that has this distinction. The New King James does not have it. They use example, example. All the other new versions, they use example, example. You say, what's the big deal? Well, I think it's a big deal to God for some reason. And it's interesting because, so then I look in some other translations. I got Sword Searcher, and I look in the Cebuano Bible, Bisayan Bible, and I ask them, do you have a distinction here? No, it's the same word. See, that's one of the things about the King James Bible and the English language at that time. The vocabulary was, you have so many more words that you can use. The Cebuano language, they're lacking vocabulary. You know, all these other Bibles. So I looked at all the other Bibles, Finnish, Spanish, just a few, Italian, Cebuano. Then I called Kyle Stevens. I said, "What is this the case for all the other translations?" And he said, as far as he knows, yes. And so I looked further. He said that's how it was in the Romanian Bible, Chinese Bible. And he actually had when he was teaching in Romania, he actually had the Romanians tell him, the King James Bible is far better than our translation. The Chinese told him that. Now, see, some people, they'll get, oh, you know. Well, you know what? The truth of the matter is, and, you know, if I say anything that your pastor doesn't agree with and you don't like, you can ask him, and then he says, no, that's not right. That's not what we believe. Follow your pastor. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, the King James Bible actually corrects the Greek in places. Yeah. And one of those places in particular is in Acts when it says Easter. In all the other Bibles, it says Passover. And there's a reason why they translated it Easter, is because the Passover had already passed. The Days of Unleavened Bread. You can get Sam Gipp's book on that. You can get Kyle Stevens. If you get that book, you'll cover that a little bit. So the correct translation is Easter, because Passover was passed. You know, charity. In 1 Corinthians, that is the correct word. And when you start studying it out, you understand. And when you really get in depth into it, you get an understanding. When you study out charity, you'll find out that just about 9 out of 10 times, it's towards believers. Charity toward Christian. That doesn't mean you're not to be benevolent. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to help out the poor. But it's an interesting thing. It's like I heard this one person say once, and it stuck with me, is that you can have charity without love. You see it all the time, because the word charity has been polluted in our English language. Charity sweepstakes, charity golf, charity softball. A lot of times, and then they'll give to charities, and sometimes they're just given for what? The tax break, right? No love involved. But when you have love, you will have true Christian charity. So, so you look at this, and what's the big deal, Why would the translators, the King James Bible, make this distinction? Are the two words synonyms? I mean, they're similar, but are they different a little bit? What's the big deal? Now, they are similar, but in this one place, you have, examples in one place and examples in the other. And this is not the only place where a word is significantly different compared to all the other translations. Charity is one of those. Now think about it. I know your pastor is probably taught on church history here, right? So you're aware, you members are, you're aware of the history and the makeup of the translators of the King James Bible, right? I mean, this group, there ended up being 47 men involved in translation, and they were broken up into different sections to translate certain books. And then they each reviewed each other's books extensively, each other's works. No such company of spiritual and brilliant men as the King James Bible translators has ever been assembled before or since. They didn't have computers. They didn't have word processors. I mean, there's one guy on that committee, on his vacation, he would go to another country and learn a different language on his vacation. These guys didn't have the distractions that we have. And they knew the Greek and the Hebrew. They knew the manuscript evidence. There's never been another company. I mean, in NIV translators, you had a lesbian on there. And she tried to change some things. But Romans 1 is still there, That's the truth of the matter. To me, it's clear to me that the King James Bible, the Lord had his hand on them, on these translators. I'm not going to bother with this. You probably heard it. Why the AV is superior to the Greek or Hebrew or manuscripts. There's many reasons. I'm not going to go into detail on that. You got to decide, do you have the pure Word of God or not? I know what changed my life. Like I said, I've been through AA, NA, and all sorts of different things. But until I got into the Word of God, until I let the Word of God clean me up, I know the power that's in the Word of God. I've seen it. I've seen God use it. It's in the King James Bible. You can still get saved with an NIV or any ASV or anything. You can still learn, but you're not getting all the meat. Because some things have been taken out, like the blood, in certain places. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. When you look at it, seven different languages, seven different English translations, and you look how this came together, it's obvious to me that the Word of God, that God had His hand on those translators. I mean, for almost 200 years, whenever anybody spoke up and said, thus saith the word, thus saith the Lord, they held up the Bible. It was the same Bible on the mission field for almost 200 years until Westcott and Hort got in there and some others, and they came out with the RSV. And that's where you really started to see the decline of the British Empire happen. And, America is not far behind. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. There's a reason why examples are not examples. And the best way to figure it out, do you believe every word of God is pure? Some of you might get, I don't even know if your pastor will agree with mine. I think the italicized words are inspired. If you don't, that's fine. Try to take them out and then get an understanding of it. You know, I had one friend, David Daniels. He won't go that far. He'll say, well, I don't know about them being inspired, but I know the Lord's hand was in on it, on the italicized words. Okay. I've looked at it, and I believe it. That's my, if you don't believe it, I don't hold it against you. If you don't want to hold it against me, that's up to you. You know, the thing is, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Do you got the word of God? Now, in regards to examples and examples, I've already mentioned different, charity, Easter, and the King James, how those are the correct words. So I hope you get an understanding of that. But really, understand why examples and examples are a little bit different, you have to study the word out. And there's plenty, it's like, if you really want to know what suffer means, you study it out. You do a word search. Sometimes it means to literally suffer. Sometimes it means suffer the little children come unto me. If you want to know what prevent means, you got to do a word search. And you'll figure it out. I believe the King James Bible, when you do a word search and you search the scriptures, compare scripture with scripture, I believe it will define a word for you. I still like having that Webster's 1828 dictionary. Is that the right one? My memory. I'd like to say I'm still suffering from jet lag, but I think I just... And other things. Let's see. So in order to get the biblical definition, we need to study some of the usage of the words to get an understanding that you won't get from the dictionary, or you won't get from hardly any scholar. Now, examples and examples show up 15 times in the Bible. Only in the New Testament are these words used. Example occurs 6 times. The word examples occurs 9 times. These words are only in the New Testament, so they're only derived from the Greek. 7 of the 15 times, they are derivatives of a certain Greek word. 6 is from a different Greek word. 1 is from another different Greek word. The thing is, I don't think the King James Bible translator just said, I don't think they had examples and examples in their hat and said, okay, what are we going to use here? Okay, that's what we use here. I think they knew what they were doing. I think they were led by God. And you'll see how interesting it is, and I hope it encourages you that you got the pure Word of God. You see, I know, because when I mentioned to my Filipino brethren that they don't have this distinction in Tagalog, they don't have this distinction in the Cebuano Bible, and you don't have this distinction in the Spanish Bible. I got a hold of Brother Hansen. I said, what about this? Only in the King James Bible do you have this. And there's a reason why, because they are different when you study them out. So we're going to look at some places and get an example, and figure it out. Let us look at example and see how this works. I'm going to give you the definition. Okay, I think I can remember it. I'm trying to, Example is something that you can follow, but you don't have to necessarily follow it to the letter. One of the examples is Jesus washing feet. He said he did that for an example, and it was an example of serving one another. That doesn't mean you have to follow it to the letter. We don't do foot washing, do you? You might be a rogue Baptist. We're going to do foot washing. I had a friend come to the Philippines, had been to PBI, and he said, we got to, and he was backslidden, we got to go wash all the Filipinos' feet. And I said, help yourself, man. Never mind. So that is one of those things where we don't follow it to the letter. Do you understand? It's an example of serving one another. If you want to wash each other's feet, go ahead. I won't fault you for that. So, and then example is something that you follow precisely as much as you can. Precisely. And we'll see that as we look at the examples and examples. Well, this could be a tongue twister sometimes, huh? All right. We've already mentioned John 13, where the Lord said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." Go to 1 Timothy 4:12. I mean, it's a good thing to do. Let no man, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, you don't need to follow that exactly to the T like Timothy did, but it is a good example. So, now, go to Hebrews 4:11. This is a better example. Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. When you look back at Hebrews 4, it's talking about the Jews not going into the land because of unbelief. See, you're not gonna do that to the T. You're not going into the promised land, right? And so you look back and you read that, and you can follow the example of not falling into unbelief, but you're not going to do it like the Jews did. So it's not precise, but it's a good example not to fall into unbelief. Right? Okay. Yeah. We go to James 5. I'll probably be quicker than you're used to. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, James 5, verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. You know, you're not going to go through what Jeremiah went through. You're not going to go through what Ezekiel went through, I don't believe. You're not going to go through some of the things that Jonah went through. What some of those prophets of old went through. But you will follow the example in suffering in this world, and, you know, endure it. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job. You know, it's like for me, I'm not going to get sawed in half. I'm not going to get thrown in a pit like Jeremiah did. I'm not going to be given bad bread and water. Maybe, you know, in a different country, some of our brethren are. My suffering was cancer. You know? And I use the example of the prophets to trust God that He'll get me through that, if He wants. If not, then okay. That's like I tell people, when I got diagnosed with cancer, at first I didn't want to fight. I was like, nope, I'm not going through this. I watched my dad go through it. I watched him go through chemo and that, and I'm not going to do it. I've watched others. I said, I've had a good life, 60 years old. I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord. But then the Lord impressed me otherwise. My wife kind of wanted to keep me around. I guess that's kind of good. My kids did. They prayed for me, and I decided to fight. And I'm in a win-win situation. You know, be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. If not, then God, if He doesn't call me home, then He must have something more for me to do. And that's true for every one of you. If you're still breathing, you could still speak up for the Lord. God's got something for you to do. As you know, there's going to be people you meet that I don't know, that your pastor don't know. You know? I'm not going to suffer exactly like Jeremiah and Isaiah and some of those prophets did, but I know the example. Of course, if I look at Jeremiah, if you get into that, it's like, Thou hast deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. So I like that one because I could like, yeah, okay, Lord, I can complain a little bit. It's quite a thing. You know, and like I like Jeremiah's like, I've had it. I'm done. I'm not going to speak for you at all anymore. I'm done. But then he couldn't keep his mouth shut. I remember one time there was something God allowed to happen, and I didn't like it. I thought he could have done something about it. I don't know why he didn't. I said, I'm done. I ain't going to say, I'm done. I'm not going to say another word. I ain't witnessing to nobody. I was in Walla Walla, Washington, driving home to Dayton, Washington, and there's a hitchhiker alongside the road, some young lady, and I'll give her a ride. Picked her up. I said, well, where are you from? She goes, well, I'm from Kamei, Idaho. Well, I'm coming from Hermiston. And I said, oh, how'd you end up doing that? And she goes, well, I'm not a bad mom. She has twins. She left them with her mom. And then she'd go out party. And she hooked up with some truck driver in Idaho, and then he dumped her in Hermiston, Oregon. And she had to hitchhike her way back home. And she didn't believe in God. And I said, okay. And anyway, started talking to her about the Lord. You know, because I kind of figured out that she was probably into crystal meth. You can kind of get a sense of that. There's a spirit there. I got to Dayton. I said, look, I'll take you to Lewis. I'll take you as far as you need to go. Let me stop and get some money and fill up the tank. And she said, okay. So I did. And she didn't believe in God. And I said, well, you know, the testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy. This has nothing to do with this. And there's prophecies in the Bible that you wouldn't believe. And I told her about the prophecy in Ezekiel concerning Tyrus, how God said it would end up being scraped from a rock and then they would end up drying their necks there. And you find out in history that, you know, there's many nations went against Tyrus. And the fourth one, I believe, was Alexander the Great. And he's the only one. They had Tyre, the island, then you had the coastal Tyre. And they could get that, but nobody could take the island. Well, Alexander the Great, he figured he did it. And what he did is he wiped out the coastal city and he used that to build a dike out to the island. And he conquered it just like God said he would. And today, fishermen dry out their nets and repair their nets on that rock. I told her about that, and then she prayed and got saved. Just a few hours before that, I was like, I'm not... God, I'm thankful God just says, yeah, he didn't mean that. Or the Holy Spirit says, he didn't really mean that. Yeah. That's happened a number of times. Anyway, back to the lesson here. Maybe you won't get out here that early. Take my brethren, the prophets. You know, that's an example that we don't have to follow to the letter. I mean, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. We're looking at example. You don't have to follow it precisely. But in examples, it appears that you ought to apply it completely, as much as you can. And we'll see why. We'll get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 21. Chapter 2, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Now, you're not going to the cross. You're not going to be betrayed by Judas. You're not going to be slapped around by Roman soldiers. You're not going to get your back whipped. But the example of Jesus Christ of enduring the affliction and submitting yourself to the will of the Lord is what you follow. But you don't have to. In the Philippines, I think it's an abomination. In the Philippines, they call it Holy Week. But they will actually, people will volunteer and they will beat themselves, they will let others beat them, and they will carry a cross thinking they're finding favor with God. And they're not. Jesus Christ did that for you. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. You don't have to beat yourself. You don't have to carry a cross. But the example of our Lord and Savior of going through affliction and keeping his mouth shut for us, that's an example we can follow, but you're not going to go to the cross. So it's an example, but you don't follow it to the letter. So I hope you'll remember, we're not done here, but examples and examples may be similar, but have a distinct and more precise biblical precept and definition. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I will be done here real short. There's a reason why God used two different words here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat. All eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. You're not going to go through the Red Sea, but in type you have. You're not going to put the blood of the Lamb on a door, because you don't have to, because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But the example is there in type, where we pass from death to life. We put our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and just like that blood on the doorpost in Egypt, the death angel passed through, you get the blood of Jesus Christ, you're forgiven, and then you won't feel the angel of death take you to hell. It's an example. And baptized, I mean, you're not baptized that way. They didn't get wet. I think I remember now, I was going through seven baptisms. And then I came across that and I just said, well, examples are not examples. What do you mean? Then I had to go study it. And I'm glad I did. You know, you're not drinking from a rock, a literal rock, are you? But every time you get into the Word of God, you get into prayer, you get something from the Lord. It's like water, it refreshes you. You're not eating the manna that comes from heaven, but when you get into the Word of God, when you hear preaching, and when you get into prayer, you get to experience that. It's not exactly the same, but it's an example of trusting God for your provision, right? It's an example of not murmuring and complaining. You know, you're not going to murmur and complain, say, all we got is this manna. Give us something else to eat. Give us some meat, and you're not going to get some quail. But you'll have the opportunity to follow the example or not follow that example and complaining about what you don't have to eat sometimes. So then you go further, go to verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. The example there is that you should not give in to idolatry at all. You should follow that to the letter. You should not give in to fornication. You should not go to a rock and roll concert. When I read Exodus and I read about those golden calves, and Joshua says, I don't know what that noise sounds like, but it's not battle, but then you find out that they're down there having a party and they're taking off their clothes and getting naked, and I know I said that probably wrong, but that's the way it goes. I'm terrible with grammar and speech. Yeah, you know, it reminds me of some of the rock concerts I used to go to. Yep. Neither let us commit fornication. That you could follow to the letter, man. That is an example that... Is that your phone? Gosh. I got a funny story to tell about that, but I don't want to get... It is kind of funny. There was a guy named Pastor Mike Keenan from Pennsylvania. He was preaching a missions conference in Calgary, Canada, and somebody's phone went off. And Jim Britton and some guys, Andy Lepwich from Cornerstone Baptist Church in Tennessee, were there. They're doing a music thing during the missions conference, and that phone went off, and then it quit. And Pastor Mike King goes, Britton, is that your phone? No, that ain't my phone. It went off again like two or three times. Then finally, Jim Britton went up to him and he patted his suit pocket. He says, that's your phone. It was his phone. It's like, oh, okay. So, that's kind of an example that you should follow, that you should turn off your phone. Okay. Oh, boy. Forgive me, Anna. I'm sorry. It's happened to me. You know, I had my phone go off once while I was preaching in the nursing home. And it's the only time I answered it, because it was my mom. I said, well, you folks understand this. This is my mom calling. I got to take this. I did, just briefly, but. So the example is something you can follow precisely. You don't give in to idolatry. You don't, rise up and play and commit fornication. You don't tempt Christ. You don't murmur and complain. You shouldn't. Murmur and complain. So you can follow these examples to the letter. There's one more I'm going to go to, then I'm going to be done. Do you get it? Do you get the idea? And the thing is, again, think about it. Only the King James Bible has this distinction. No other Bible in the world has these two words. You got the perfect Word of God. And this is one of the examples, whichever, that prove that. Because it makes a difference. It's a subtle difference. It doesn't seem like much, but when you study it out, it's like, oh. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Oh, we'll go to verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So they were an example where you could follow that example, believing the gospel completely, you had the power and the Holy Ghost, the Word of God keeps you, Jesus Christ keeps you, and you could do that with full, much assurance. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God, where it is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. What a testimony that somebody could say about your church. They are bold witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are trying to reach people. They are an example of applying the faith that they have in Jesus Christ and reaching a lost world with the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel. Now, that's people, what do you do as a missionary? Well, I preach, I teach, I've helped start a church. I've started a church, did other things, but primarily I am there to preach the simplicity of the gospel. It's so simple. It's so easy to be saved. Admit you're a sinner, believe Jesus Christ died for your sins, call on Him to be your Savior. It's that simple. Then verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The example there is turning from idolatry and turning to the living God and waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return and doing something for Him while you're waiting. There's the difference. It's subtle. It doesn't mean much, but does it? I mean, if you believe every word of God is pure and a shield unto them that put their trust in Him, why? It's like, I firmly believe that that these Bible, the translators, the King James Bible, they did this for, they were led by God to do this. It's like I said, it's not like they took a hat and put, you know, okay, we got it here, you know, 15 times. We'll do example 6 times, example 9 times, okay. Let's see what we're going to use here. No, they were led of the Holy Ghost. And God put in the right words and for a reason. And there's no other Bible that has that distinction. So I hope that will encourage you that you have the perfect Word of God. Amen?